And it is on September 3rd, two services, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So I don't know a lot about this, but this is being hosted by what looks to be an informal group of churches, about two dozen churches. And we were on the list. I thought that was kind of cool. It's called Iron Range Renewal. And their purpose is awakening the church regionally through prayer and worship and renewing our commitment to Jesus Christ. So I thought that was interesting, so I'm going to check into it more. But if you're interested in vocalizing in a probably fairly large group, only singing one song, the practice, and the reason I'm announcing it is the practices start tomorrow night at 6:30 at Chisholm Baptist Church. And that's where I got the email from, was Chisholm Baptist Church. I think that's really cool. My vocal support is home, sick with a sinus infection. And she got some antibiotics, so it's going away, it's getting better, but unable to be here. So you're going to have to put up with me. And no, you don't have to stand. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the children of God. That we should be called the children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Should be called the children of God. That we should be called the children of God. Our Father, we come to you today in your cathedral, your creation, to worship and to honor you along with your Son, Jesus. Hear our praise, hear our prayers, hear our time of thinking of you and the redemption that you have provided through your Son, Jesus, and the presence of your Holy Spirit that you have left with us, the power and the ability and the blessing to be able to live for you, to love people, to have faith in you, and to walk this life in the land of the living. And so we thank you for your presence and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And then from the New Testament, comes from John 6, verse 35, and verses 41 through 51. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then verse 41. At this time the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can we now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up from the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Yeah, you want to come up and grab this one? It got deposited here for some reason, so. So, like I've said before, it is time to give joyfully to the Lord what the Lord has put on your heart. That's the way we can give joyfully. Father, once again, we come before you, thanking you for all of your goodness. Receive our gifts from our heart to honor you and to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay. Put this on a little bit. Okay, our second medley. I forgot to say this at the beginning. This is our annual picnic. It's sort of like camp. We get to sing gospel songs, and we get to hear Hellfire and Brimstone sermon. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Lift up your heads to the coming King. Before Him and adore Him, sing to His majesty. Let your praises be pure and holy, giving glory to the King of Kings. Lift up your head to the coming King. Bow before Him and adore Him. Sing, sing to His majesty. Let your praises be pure and holy, giving glory to the King of Let's pray together. Our Father God, we come to you this morning thinking of those who have been affected by crisis, or illness. And so we bring before you today our friends, our family and extended family. We bring before you Roger, Mark, John, and Sarah, Bernie and Elizabeth and Jennifer, Terry, Kate, and Zach. Also Brian and Julie, Aaron, Lucas and Matthew, Linda and Steve, and Sid and Darlene. Bring before you Ed and Jean as well, and Shirley's friend, Brad. Our God, we always thank you for these brothers and sisters. We bring them to you in prayer, asking that their faith would continue to grow, that their love for you and for one another would continue to grow. We thank you for their strength. We thank you for their perseverance. We thank you for their faith in all the circumstances in life. Our Father God, this morning we also think of all the believers across the Iron Range and our continued prayer that you would renew us again. We thank you for this movement of a couple dozen churches getting together with that very purpose. And our hearts join with them, and our hearts go out, and our prayers go out to all of the believers across the Iron Range. We remember them with joy because they have been our partners across the Iron Range to send forth your good news, the gospel of Jesus, our Messiah, so that people might find you through him. We know that you have been doing a good work across the Iron Range in the hearts and lives of believers. We know that because we run into believers everywhere. And that encourages our faith. So we ask, Lord, that together our love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth and insight of you and your goodness and your word. Help us to discern what is best. Help us to be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Fill us with the fruit of your Spirit, the fruit of righteousness that comes only through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pause to acknowledge that whatever is happening on the Iron Range of northern Minnesota, for the name of Jesus, you are to be glorified. It is your work. It is your way. It is in the lives of people that you will be honored and glorified. And so we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Try to get this up as loud as it can because it with the wind and the traffic and everything. Yeah, and motorcycles too. So, apologize for getting those two switched on the bulletin. I've done that before. So, everybody knows the book of Job. Thank you, Wind. And not everybody likes it. I've heard non-Christians say, if God is like that, I don't want him. I've heard Christians criticize the book of Job, and many Christians don't use Job in their devotions. I'd ask for a raise of hands of anybody who's used the book of Job for their devotional time. It's a struggle. Not going to go through the book, but to get to 3 points today. First time I've said a three-point sermon. 3 points today. In the end of the book of Job, he finally gets to a defense against all his critics, including his best friends who are criticizing him. And he starts by admitting two things that I find Christians have trouble admitting. But Job admits it. Number one, that God has denied him justice. Number two, that God has made his life bitter. Ever felt like that? Ever felt like you aren't getting the justice you think you deserve? Ever felt like life is just bitter? Some of the folks that we prayed for may feel like that right now as they struggle through the situations of life in the land of the living. But Job follows it up with five affirmations. Job says, I will never say anything against God. I will not lie. I will not admit that the prevailing worldview is right. Remember, he got the prevailing worldview from his friends. I will never admit that that is right. I will never deny my integrity, and I will continue to maintain my innocence. And we can do all five of those, and including maintaining our innocence in the righteousness of Jesus. Following that defense is an interesting passage that I'm calling an ode to the Iron Range. I bet you never thought that there would be a passage in Scripture that talks about the Iron Range. And I'll be honest, I just stumbled across it when I was doing my research. So I'm going to read it to you right out of Job chapter 28, verses 1 through 11. And if you're following it, you'll notice that I've condensed it, so I've skipped a few verses or pieces in there. So this is what it says, and think about if this fits the Iron Range. There is a mine, a place where iron is taken from the earth and is smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from human dwelling, they cut a shaft in places untouched by human feet. Far from other people, they dangle and sway. People assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see all its treasures. They search the sources of the rivers and bring hidden things to light. So you can tell folks that the Iron Range is written in Scripture. But what does that have to do with anything? Well, following that, what Job does is contrast what humans do with what God does. So speaking of all the efforts that we go through to relax, enjoyment, snowmobiling, four-wheeling, golf, all that kind of stuff, and efforts that we put forth to earn a living, he follows it with one essential question. And that question is, after all your efforts, where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? So in Job chapter 28, he follows with that question, and then he adds this: no mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. Wisdom and understanding can't be found in the land of the living. But that's where we live. It's in the land of the living. How can we find it if it's not in the land of the living? Where does wisdom come from? If it's hidden from the eyes of every living creature, which he goes on to say, and this is one of my favorites that he follows up with in Job, destruction and death say about wisdom and understanding. This is what destruction and death say. I've only heard a rumor about it. They aren't even looking for it. It's just way off in the distance somewhere. But we know that God is the way to wisdom and understanding. And so Job concludes this passage with this: and God said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. But we're still stuck in the land of the living right now, where we are. Don't even know sometimes where to look for wisdom, and I'm sure you felt the same way that I have when you encounter an issue in life or are trying to find an answer from the Word of God. How do I get wisdom? How do I get understanding? Brian and I have been working on the parsonage. And I remember the first day, I'm sure you do too, the first day we were over there and we were looking at the bathroom and figuring out how can we get to the plumbing. And so the two of us kept talking about it, and finally the solution was, we've got to tear the floor up. That's not God's wisdom. But that is wisdom between two guys working on a project. We're stuck here in the land of the living with fun and entertainment, television programs. There's an abundance of them, only you have to pay an arm and a leg for most of them now. One of the things that I enjoy following is kind of my scientific alter ego, is every article that I find in the news about a new advance in physics or astrophysics. And so when they come out with an article that says they've invented a new engine that can replace car engines and it's going to operate on hydrogen, fusion, or maybe batteries. We've already got cars with batteries. And then another one that comes out that says they've been able to develop propulsion through anti-gravity. And so if we can send something into space, if we can send something into space with anti-gravity propulsion, it doesn't need fuel. It can travel forever on this new theory. The reason I like physics and astrophysics is because of my view of creation. Bill and I were talking about this past week, about all that God has made. And I admit I'm a little bizarre in this area, because I like to think about the universe, and I like to think about all that God has created. An astrophysicist about 2 months ago said that he estimates the universe is comprised of 1 billion galaxies, and each galaxy has an average number of 1 trillion stars. So according to him, the number of stars in the universe is 1 followed by 12 zeros. That's a lot of stars. So here's Mike's dark side. Because I've had this conversation way long time ago, probably 50 years ago with a guy. So what is there on the other side of the universe? If the universe can be defined, what's on the other side? And of course, the guy I was talking with goes, there is no answer. Eternity in the universe, to me, declares the eternity of God. He created the universe. Is there something beyond the universe? I don't know. God created it all. He knows what's there. And as you know, the Old Testament says, not only did he create all the stars, but he named every single one. He knows the name of all those stars. Amazing. The incredibleness of God. King David got stuck on this question a little bit. In Psalm 27, verse 13, it's a favorite verse in the Word of God. And this is the King James Version. His version, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. The New American Standard Version says, I would have despaired if I couldn't see the goodness of God in this land, in the land of the living. Seeing God in the land of the living? New International Version says this, puts a positive spin on it. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How can these translations be so different, almost opposite, and still be right? Well, the Hebrew translation, the literal Hebrew translation of that verse is simply, unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. It doesn't put any of that in there, because in the Hebrew, what that statement means is put anything ahead of this sentence, put anything behind this sentence, and this sentence will always be true. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. In other words, it was so settled in David's heart that no matter what circumstances come along, I believe I will see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. David wants us to know that it is possible to see behind the scenes, to see what is unseen by looking at what is seen in the land of the living. So here's a hint. Psalm 116, verses 8 and 9. For you, Lord, have delivered me from the ultimate reign of death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So here we are, stuck in the land of the living. And sometimes our faith falters. Perhaps you haven't found faith in Jesus yet. You're stuck in the land of the living. So what's the Bible answer to this? In the land of the living. The Bible confidently says, just look around. Just really look around. Look up into the sky. Look over to the lake. Look down to the grass. Look up to the trees. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and divine nature, wait for these words, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Have been clearly seen from His creation. And ending that verse, so that people are without excuse. So everything that God has made declares His majesty. So when you look around, what do you see? Do you just see trees? Do you just see grass? Or do you see beyond to the Creator of the trees and the grass? Do you see beyond to a God who not only created all this, but created this world, this earth, to be occupied by humanoids, us, people, because He wanted people in His family. So He created this so that we could find Jesus, and through Jesus, find God. I'd like to end with an example that I have always enjoyed, and that is an example from the life of Albert Einstein. Everybody knows who Einstein is, and to be honest, he didn't exactly live an exemplar life. Albert Einstein was Jewish, and so that's how he was raised. And you know a little bit about his profession, but his avocation, his off time, probably was a little worse than the kind of life we would live, okay? Not terrible, terrible bad, but, not exemplar either. But there's something about Einstein that has always amazed me. The theory of relativity, which most people are familiar with, and we more or less take it for granted, and as you probably know, I read everything that comes out about this. The theory of relativity has still worked in every single instance it was implemented. The theory of relativity combines four elements. It combines matter and energy, light, and time. And before the theory of relativity, people said it is impossible to put all of those things together. Well, what I like is the story behind why Einstein put those together. Albert Einstein, as I said, didn't live an exemplar life, but there's one thing he had. He knew God existed. I'm going to say that again. He didn't believe God existed. He knew God existed. Now, what he did with that in his life and his Jewish upbringing may not be recommended, but he knew that God existed. And because God existed and everything created came from one source, God, Albert Einstein knew that matter and energy, time and light had to be connected with each other because God created all of them. And so he launched out on his adventure, knowing God existed, and trying to figure out how all of those are connected. Now, I can't tell you how he did it, the formulas he used and all that, but I can tell you this, that very simple, basic truth, not only believing God existed, but knowing God exists, and for us as Christians, knowing that Jesus was a real person, knowing that Jesus led a life that we want to copy, knowing that Jesus died for us so that we could have not only a relationship with the Father now, but a relationship with the Father forever.